Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, April 26th. April 28th. Felger here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz and Murray on remote. Fellas, Maz, how you doing?
What's up, Diggler?
Oh, just hanging out. Murray, you?
Hello.
Hello. How you feeling, Murray?
I'll plead the fifth.
Oh, come on. Fresh as lettuce.
Murray's been grumpy for, like, I'd say going on a good week and a half.
I know. Poor guy. Is it that bad, Murray?
Sure is.
It is not. You really think it's that bad?
Every day, every hour, worse than the last.
What's so bad? What's the worst?
All of it. Literally all of it. I'm fed up and so over it.
Seriously?
Yep.
It's that bad.
It is.
Did your father, was your father Vietnam era?
He was, yes.
Did he get recruited?
He was in the Air Force for a short period of time, but he ended up, I think it was an injury or something, that he had early release.
Okay. And your father, Maz, is an immigrant, right?
He is, yep. He came over in the mid-50s, 1955, right before Christmas.
Did your father's look at you, like, your father look at you, Murray, and say, dude, grow up here? Like, it ain't that bad?
No. He's with me. This is the worst time ever.
my father hates it.
The worst time ever?
Yeah.
As hard as
Murray's in a downward spiral, Mike.
Is that right?
He said, every day, every minute gets worse. That's what he said.
I mean, if this is the worst, you have it easy, don't you think? If this is the worst you have to endure on your time on the planet, wouldn't you say that you got away with one? Compared to what everyone else before us had to deal with?
Oh, sure. But, you know, that was their problem then. I worry about me.
Okay. Well, anyway, it would help if we got some sports back. So let's start with that. The return of sports, as we like to call it. And we'll have some more draft and Patriots follow-ups later on in the program. But the return of sports, there was a development yesterday that I wanted to get to, but we were too busy ripping the Patriots. So we'll do it here, and that is the thing Murray just, or Hardy said it in his update there at the top of the hour. NBA arenas in certain places and facilities were going to open to teams this Friday, in 3-4 days. And they actually stopped that and said, nope, actually a week from Friday, May 8th. Was that a setback, Maz?
On paper, yes. But realistically, no. I thought that was premature. And I know that, you know, people like Mark Cuban have been out there, and I'm not dumping on him. I think people need some level of optimism. But he's been saying, well, you know, June 1, who knows? We could be, like, from the beginning, he was painting this picture of something that I thought was probably unrealistic. And I know this, that with regard to baseball, as soon as this thing happened, I said, we'll be lucky if they get a half season out of it, meaning All-Star break mid-July. And so, to me, that's what we're looking at, is somewhere around July 1st. And that's probably a best-case scenario. And so, bump back a week? You know, again, on paper, yes. Realistically, no.
I thought that this was all good. Even though that they bumped it back another week, I still was expecting not to hear anything from any league in terms of anyone showing up or practicing until June, maybe July, so that they're even talking May, and there's already been this minor setback. I still look at that as a positive. My hope, though, is that this just doesn't continue to be a political thing. It should just come down to the players. Are the players comfortable in these states that have eased restrictions to go and practice and ply their trade? Or are they feeling pressure because, you know, so the state of Georgia, right? Republican state, but Atlanta is a blue city. So are they feeling pressure from the mayor and the people in Atlanta that, well, you really shouldn't because that's a bad look. And it turns into a whole left versus right thing, which I feel like this is going to continue to devolve into. It ultimately should come down to the athletes in their respective sports and if they're comfortable going back.
Right. And the teams. And so this is what I think people are missing about the Atlanta thing is that, yeah, Georgia's governor is pretty gung-ho, opening it back up, and Georgia has started to. And so the NBA says, okay, if Georgia's opening up, then players in that state can go to a facility and work out under certain conditions. And the NBA thought, okay, well, that makes sense. And you know who's put a kibosh on it? It was the Hawks. It wasn't the Hawks. You know, it's like the Hawks had some owners say, hell yeah, come on down, let's go, we're opening up, woo, you know. Nope, the Hawks said, nope, actually, we want to see how this all plays out and how this all looks, and then we'll open it up. So, we're not going to let our players do it. So, you want to get all hot and bothered, get hot and bothered against the ownership of the Atlanta Hawks, because they're the ones who put the kibosh on it. But I think there's good news and bad news with it. Let me give you the good news first. The good news is this. It comes... and we heard Wick Grosbeck say this as well when he was on with us last week, but Adrian Wojnarowski said it last night with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN on SportsCenter. Give me number two, Jimmy, if you could, from last night, please.
More than ever, Scott, I think this is a league that is really willing to push the calendar on this season. You know, I had reported back, and I lose track of time, maybe 3 weeks ago. It could have been 3 years
ago.
But that the league wanted to have the finals wrapped up ideally by Labor Day weekend. They are more willing than ever to delay the start of next season. And part of that reason is that might give them more time next year to be able to have fans in the building. But next season, the fear of having to start the year in empty arenas, and if they were going to start at their normal time, mid-late October, it's hard to imagine that there would be fans in the stands. And so I think as much time as they can buy for themselves, I think the league is willing to do that right now, and they're trying to look at everything. And this isn't just a let's figure out the next couple months in this season. This is over. This is a 2-3-4 year look moving forward.
Okay. The NBA is really willing to push it back because, do you hear it? Because if they want full revenues next season, they got to have fans in stands. So they know that if they start the regular season, the 2021 regular season, on schedule in October, November, they're not going to have fans in stands, and they're going to lose all that revenue.
Correct.
So more than ever, they want to start at Christmas. They want to start late because they want every opportunity to have as much revenue as possible the next year, which means as much opportunity to have fans in the stands, so give this thing as much time as ever to play out. So they have all the time in the world, and this is why Wick Grosbeck said to us last week, time's on our side. That's the good news from the reporting. Here's the bad news. The conditions in place for these players to come back and even just shoot around. The conditions that the league has put in place, okay? Listen, and this was going to be this Friday, now it's next Friday. And this is never mind the hurdle, which they haven't even really gotten over yet. The states that have a stay-at-home order versus those that don't. Like in L.A., the stay-at-home order's through May 15th, I think. And now it's here, too, right? Didn't Baker do that today here?
Yeah.
It's May 18th for Massachusetts.
Okay, right. May 18th. But the right. NBA is saying starting May 8th, you can go into facilities. So they still have to square that away. You can go into your facilities on May 8th, but if your state has a stay-at-home order till May 15th or May 18th, they still haven't crossed that bridge. But when they get there, a maximum of 4 players allowed at a time in the building. They would have to wear face masks inside the facilities until they start working out. Any staff members present would have to wear face masks and gloves, and everyone the way I read this, everyone would have to keep a minimum distance of 12 feet as a buffer between players and staff members working with them. And I took that to mean as well, players as well. So it's not like you can do one-on-one drills or post somebody up, or that Jason Tatum could work on his step back turnaround from 17 feet with the guy covering. It's everyone has to keep a 12-foot distance between themselves. Okay? Players who return, more rules. Players who return to their home team markets from out of town will have to quarantine before being allowed back in. Okay, 14 days. All equipment used by players, including the basketballs, will have to be disinfected before being used again. Players will not be allowed to share towels, and teams will not be permitted to make steam rooms, saunas, cold tubs, oxygen chambers, and cryotherapy chambers. Pronounce it as?
Cryotherapy.
Okay, cryotherapy chambers. All those won't be open. You can't use them. Teams will have to designate a staff member as a facility hygiene officer to oversee all these new policies. I'm not done. Players will have to enter the facility alone without family members, friends, or personal security. There's more. All cell phones, keys, and other often touched items must be cleaned and disinfected upon entry to the facility. No head coaches or assistant coaches can be part of these voluntary workouts. NBA players are also still prohibited from working out at public health clubs, fitness centers, or gyms. I read about a few individual teams, the Florida Sun Sentinel. They have a fingerprint technology entrance for security to get into their building. They have to change that because they don't want the four guys touching the fingerprint technology to enter the building.
Right.
The Lakers have, reportedly, a designated rebounder for each player, and he will wear gloves and sterilized sneakers as he's rebounding for the Lakers. All this just to go into the gym and shoot around? So this to me was a reality check. This is not, if this is what we're doing, it's not going to work. It can't.
Well, so Mike, the big variable there is testing, right? So that, you know, again, they don't know the status of any of these guys. I mean, the guys coming in from out of town have to be quarantined for 2 weeks. Why? Because they got to make sure they don't have it because they can't test.
Exactly, Maz. This is why all of this, and I'm pushing it as much as anyone, and I'm glad they're trying. Keep trying. But this was all contained in a 16-page memo. If it's a 16-page memo to go over all the rules and regulations just for the guy to go into the building and shoot, what is the memo going to look like? Two full teams, full referee staff, full training staffs, full media staffs, three games a day in an empty building with hundreds of people in and out of that building. It's not... It's not feasible. It's not.
No, not without the testing. No, again, so this is why, again, if there's no testing, forget it. It's all over.
So this showed me we're not ready. I mean, we should be ready. We should start getting ready and dipping our toes into stepping back out into the world for a various, number of reasons, which we can get into or not get into. But it's time to start dipping our toes. But if the NBA... is going to go to these just so four guys can go into the building and shoot some jump shots? It took a 16-page memo, Maz. Specialized ball boys with gloves and sterilized sneakers, disinfecting all the equipment. You can't touch anything. Wipe down procedures. You can't really use the locker room. Like, forget about it. Like,
don't you think that might be lip service, though? At least that's my hope. That they put this out there to tell everyone, and especially those in power, like, see, we are going to take it seriously, but we need to get back to work. But, see, here's 16 pages of how serious we're taking this thing. And then when they all get together, like, let's practice.
But this is what it boils down to. And look, we've explored every possibility. We'll continue to. Biosphere, hamster cages, quarantine hotels, empty stadiums, whatever it takes. Keep exploring it. Unless you have testing, it's just not feasible. If the ball boys have to wipe down their shoes and wear gloves and have a specific guy, and they have to change the fingerprint technology to enter the building, and there's a, what did I call it? Each team has to have a facility hygiene officer just to get four guys in the building to shoot. What are you going to do when there's 25 guys bumping up against each other? Never mind the refs and the trainers and the support crew and the media and the building service. It's just not. We're going to have to get to a point where you can go to the gym and shoot baskets and not have to have the ball boy wipe down his shoes before you come back in again.
Does that officer have to holster the sanitizer?
Spread them. You haven't wiped down the soles of your shoes. Woo, woo, woo.
I mean, if that memo is 16 pages, what's the one that you sent to your wife and daughters for the trip to the grocery store?
I'm mocking it, but you should, you know, you've obviously seen me in my workstation. I'm this guy wiping down my shoes and everything. But, you know, that's not feasible when you're talking about a basketball game. And so we're going to have to get to a point, and I don't know if it's the players who are that anal, or the team's overreacting, or everyone's still overreacting, or what it is, but we ain't going to get games as long as this is in play. If it's 16 pages of regulations just for four guys to shoot jump shots, we're not.
No, forget it.
We're
no
not
shot.
Close. We're not
Mike,
close.
Mike, every plan we have discussed, just quickly, every single plan we have discussed is contingent upon there being better testing readily available. If that's not there, it's over.
Okay.
It's over.
Your thoughts. The hounds have been disinfected and wiped down at 617-779-0985. Join us on this. We'll give you the Major League Baseball latest, the NFL latest, all of it on the return of sports with you right after this.
Felger and Matt. Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And the wrench. And the towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
One GM said to me tonight, if we need a 15-page memo from the league to get one guy in and out of our building just so we can take shots, get shots up, like maybe the timing's not right.
That's exactly how I react. Like, so you can get four guys in there, but then you can't use a cold tub and you can't use a sauna and nobody can touch anything. And you got to wipe anything down. And if you use your cell phone, I mean, I could keep going through like the specifics from this memo and it's mind numbing. So, I mean, that's where I come off. And I'm not trying to be like the negative guy here. It's just like this, even when they get back in the gym, like it doesn't feel like anybody's closer to anything. And I guess that's what felt daunting to me, is that's the sense that you get from in and around the league, that it's just that the pace is going to be glacial here.
Part of it was there was some fear in the league that when the state of Georgia opens or the state of Florida opens, that players in other marketplaces who couldn't get into gyms would start migrating to those areas of the country. Yep. And go to an Equinox, go to a public gym, and the league didn't want that.
Right, so I mean, you can see why the league did it. I guess they didn't communicate it very well, because a lot of teams found out about it through Wojnarowski's reporting over the weekend, and then they called the league and said, whoa, really? We're opening up on Friday? But the league didn't want a situation where teams in states that were opening could start showing up and teams that didn't have openings couldn't, and so, but they still have to burn that bridge. Like, I get it all. This all goes back to a point I meant to make a couple weeks ago, and that is, you know, the government can open up the economy as much as they want. They can say it's open. You can open up. You're open for business. Trump, what's the guy's name in Georgia? His name escapes me. The governor.
Brian Kemp.
Kemp, okay, who I'm actually rooting for. I hope Georgia opens and is successful and is healthy and leads the way for us all to come back. I'm not dumping on Kemp in Georgia. I'm rooting for him. I hope, you know, better them than us. And I hope it works, you know. So, but anyway, Kemp and Trump and all these guys can open up the shops, but if people don't want to go, it's really not what's the point. And I think this NBA is sort of a little microcosm of that. The governor says, yep, we're open. The league says, yep, on Friday, you can show up. And the Atlanta Hawks say, well, we're not ready to show up. We don't want to show up, and we want our ball boys to wipe down their shoes and wear gloves, and we got to figure out the day. So people aren't ready. Like, so until the people are ready, the whole quote unquote opening up the economy is sort of an opening up business. It's sort of a secondary thing to the peace of mind of the people doing it. So this is like to your point, Murray, previously. I'm curious, are basketball players ready to do it? Or are the players saying, you know, is it going to be clean in there? Like, what about, you know, I don't want to be bumping up against anybody yet. If the players aren't ready to start bumping up against anyone, then forget about it. Like, there's no point in this.
No.
Well, so look. Go ahead, Murray. I'm sorry. No, go.
That was tremendous. That's as good as it gets right there. Maz, to you.
Okay, so look, I just think that the ultimately what has happened here is you're talking about a whole country, a whole world that's had its confidence shaken. So whether it's a basketball player or some guy working in an office somewhere, there's trepidation when you go back, and that's not going to go away until, well, testing again's a big part of it, but it's not going to go away until people start doing it over and over again and get their legs back under them and say, okay, fine, I feel safe here again. This feels like my familiar routine. I don't think you just turn on the lights and everyone shows up. I don't think it works that way. And I think that's the part we're all missing. And look, again, maybe we're not missing it now because it's come to our attention through this story with the NBA. But this is why I think the whole return is going to take a hell of a lot longer than people think. And Mike, we're just talking about basketball, let alone the real world.
So there is a real case. There's a scientific case to be made to go back. There is. I don't know if you've done the reading or you've seen what, you know, there is. There's a case to be made out there to that it's okay to go back and it's safe to start going back in certain places for sure. And there's a case to be made there. I just wish we had an organized, coordinated effort of someone making that case to give people peace of mind that it might be okay to go to the gym and shoot baskets. And it might be okay to go out for a jog. It may be okay to actually play a game of 2-on-2. It's actually safe to do it. It's okay to do it. And it's not going to put a stress on our system. And it's like there's a case to be made for it. I wish someone would just make it.
And that's where this whole thing gets, I think, really unfortunate. And it's affecting the world of sports because it's become divided on political lines. Because I think you have people on the left being like, no. We got to wait until the last possible moment and, you know, full testing. And people on the right are like, open it up. Business. We got to get the machine rolling again. And there's really no one that's just, I don't know, trying to preach common sense in the middle. Can you maybe just dip our toes in it and see what happens?
I don't mind that guy saying business. I don't mind that guy. The guy with the assault rifle shouting at the nurse in the street, like that's the guy that I think isn't helping anything. And there's, you know, there's a little too much of that, I think. But I mean, just there is a middle path. There is a path there if it could be articulated and we see some leadership. But you just have one governor here saying this, one governor there saying that. You've got Trump, who I know wants to go gung-ho and, you know, open things up, but is being held back and is letting himself being held back and can't articulate anything in the middle of that. And that's what frustrates me. You know, the leadership on it continues to be so poor, so freaking poor, that's what frustrates me. Because these teams shouldn't have to go through these steps for have a couple guys show up in the gym to shoot baskets. They shouldn't. It shouldn't be like this. We have to go a 16-page memo for a couple guys to show up to an empty gym and shoot some baskets. It doesn't need to be that bad. But we're all still in this place that I think, I don't know, either the teams or the players. And that's what I'm curious about. Was that the players that wanted that, or is that the teams that feel it needs it? So either way, that's where the NBA is. The NFL won't admit it publicly, but they're talking about pushing things back, which I'm actually okay with. This is according to the Sports Business Journal. They reported on Monday. Another thing yesterday we meant to get to, but we're too busy bashing the Patriots draft, which I enjoyed, and we'll get back to. The Sports Business Journal reported that the NFL plans to release a standard 16-game, 17-week regular season schedule on May 7th. That's a week from Thursday. But that it will be designed to accommodate possible pandemic-related delays, which I take to mean, Maz, everyone's going to have one home, one road for the alternating over the first 3-4 weeks. You know what I mean?
Sure, it could be, yeah.
Right? So if you have to take the first 2 weeks and put them on the back of the season, it's still one home, one road. Or if you have to eliminate two games, it's one home, one road. And I think that's what everyone's schedule is going to look like to start. And that's how they're going to account for that.
Makes sense.
One home, one road, probably for the first 4 weeks. Home, road, everybody. Road, home. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I guess is what that would be. Or maybe divisional games as well to start and to end like they normally, you know, something like that. The league could shift to 2 early weeks to the end of the season. Again, a la 2001 when the 9/11 delayed week two was pushed to January and became week 17. It could also drop the week between the conference championship games and Super Bowl, pushing the Super Bowl back to as late as the end of February and cut every team's bye week. With those plans in place, the NFL season could begin as late as October 15th without any games being cut. I'd be in favor of October 15th, by the way. You know, the whole way it plays out, I want these winter leagues to keep pushing through. I want them to come back. You know, ideally for me, NBA, NHL cleans up its regular season in June, July. The playoffs for each league go August into September, and then they start their new seasons in November, December. And so you also have things like the Masters, the Kentucky Derby, all those things early fall. The NFL gets going mid-October. Boom. Like, that all sort of times out well for me. I hope the NFL goes to this, and then maybe they can have something approaching more of a real training camp as well. So I sort of like I hope the NFL is actually planning on this in October 15 start.
When I saw this yesterday, I didn't hate it, you know, because it's still starting in the fall, albeit a month later. The timeline's just not that screwed up. You know what I mean? Like, look, I'll take whatever, and that's the most important professional sport to me. But that timeline's not that whacked. I saw that, and even that, if that's without fans, I can live with it.
I got no issue with it at all. None. Zero. Again, because to me, again, at least there's some continuity to the season. It starts at a certain point, and then from there, the rest of it is familiar. So you push on the starting line back, and as a result, everything else falls back. I got no problem with that at all.
Okay, finally, on Major League Baseball, Maz, Jeff Passan has come off his All-Arizona plan, and he points out in his story that there was pushback from the players, which I don't want to say I told you so, but they're having trouble with the one location plan because of all these players that don't want to uproot their families and go to different cities. If you go to each spring training site, there's more of a familiarity in off-season homes and rented condos and things of that nature that they can take advantage of. There was also a report over the weekend of introducing Texas as well. So having multiple hub cities, if you will, they talked about Tampa, Texas, you know, Arlington, I guess the Rangers have a new retractable roof stadium, and Arizona, where there's a dome stadium in each of these places that could house a couple of games a day. So you're guaranteed no weather issues there. And, you know, full facilities with full, you know, full ability to get multiple teams in and out, the whole thing. Maybe they got the UV light technology to disinfect the locker rooms and all that crap, right? You know, still there's be teams uprooting into Texas, but there's fewer and less upheaval where there's going to be, whatever, 28 teams going to Arizona where they're not used to being. They're going to try and spread it out more like that. Did you have a thought on that issue?
Well, so look, again, I mean, there are advantages or disadvantages to both. I told you, I like the Arizona model. I think it's nice and clean. It's one place. Everything works. The chances of that happening, it sounds like, are getting more remote. So one thing that is nice about this, you know, satellite sort of approach that you have different bubbles set up is that if you do have an outbreak in any one bubble, you can, it's not all of the major leagues that's going to get infected.
Well, as Passan wrote, players do not want to separate from their families, and the MLBPA has made that clear, which tells you the players are pushing back on the quarantine idea, which may be a deal breaker. If that's a deal breaker for the players, they may not get a season.
Okay, it may not be the only deal breaker for the players, and this is what worries me, is that I think the problem with the MLBPA is because of the strength of it, that they may be able to be a roadblock in this thing, and I'm not sure that they understand that they're really going to have to make sacrifices in order for this to happen. So apparently the players and the owners agreed on a prorated portion of salary if and when they come back. In other words, if they play 81 out of 162, they all get 50% of their pay, right? Makes sense. We play half the games, you get half your money. Except that the owners apparently are starting to grumble that they might even have to be additional cuts on top of it. And I'm not convinced that the owners and players are going to see eye to eye financially, and I hope they're not dumb enough to get in a disagreement over money that prevents the game coming back. But with baseball, I never rule it out.
Right. These other sports, maybe the issues are there, but we're just not hearing them. Of course, baseball, we're hearing the union balking at this, that, and the other, and money being chief among them. We're hearing about the dividing lines in baseball between the union and the ownership more than any other sport. Shocker. Shocker with that players union there. So there's an update on all of it. Chris Mannix is going to join us next. We'll get his input and your calls coming up as well, I promise. But first, a quick update from Murray.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Say something, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
All right, the return of sports, the return of the NBA. Let's get some help. Our buddy Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, NBC Sports Boston. Join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Chris, if it takes all this trouble, a 16-page memo, and all of this back and forth to get four guys into a gym just to shoot jump shots, does that tell you how far away we are from NBA basketball actually returning to the floor?
Well, that wasn't exactly my reaction to it, because I don't think that these guys potentially getting a handful of them into a gym has really anything to do with the NBA returning. I think the NBA has some kind of timeline in their head where they're going to make a decision. They're really not going to think about, they're not going to look too deep into the numbers until they get to that date, whether it's May 15th or even June 1st, whenever they decide. What jumped to mind when this happened to me, Mike, was that this has the ability of making the playoffs completely incredible, lacking credibility in any way. Because if you're going to allow players to get back into gyms in some cities and other players can't get into gym in others, that creates an unfair competitive advantage. I mean, even if guys are just doing one-on-one stuff and using the weight room, that's more than what most players are doing. They're simply not even doing, I mean, you hear these stories about players like Jason Tatum and others who haven't even picked up a basketball in that period of time. So look, if the NBA goes forward with this and opens up facilities to players, I think they have to say, whatever happens with a postseason that we decide to do, it does not crown a legitimate champion. The 2020 NBA championship will be vacant.
Did you have a thought there, Maz? I heard you chime in.
Well, so look, again, that was one of the first things that occurred to me when I saw that some teams would be allowed back, depending on what the restrictions were or the lifting of restrictions in their cities, and other teams wouldn't. But then I also read, Chris, that the NBA would be in touch with players and organizations who weren't in cities where the restrictions were lifted and come up with some sort of alternative solution. So don't you think the NBA is aware of that inconsistency?
Oh, they're very aware of it. And every time I speak to somebody at a high level about, you know, exactly that kind of, you know, sort of ambiguous phrase that you used and that was out there in stories about finding ways to kind of accommodate them, nobody has any specific way of explaining it. Nobody, there's just no way of, you know, basically packing up the Lakers for 3 weeks and taking them to Texas to do it. Like, players don't want to do it. They've got families. They don't want to be traveling during times like this. They want to work out at their own facilities. And you can't do that with like 20 of the 30 teams in the league, or even if you want to limit the playoff teams, you can't do it with like half the playoff teams that are in the league. It's a nice thought, Maz, that the NBA has about doing something like that. But I've been on the phone all week, and nobody has even presented one type of credible way of doing it. And every time I talk to general managers, they laugh at the idea. It's just not possible to do it unless every team opens their facility. By the way, I have no problem with these facilities being open in states that have loosened their restrictions because, look, these guys are athletes. They're basketball players. If it's not at their team facility, they're going to a damn Equinox. Like, they're going to find a place to work out, and they might as well be working out at a sanitized facility as opposed to, like, you know, 24-hour fitness where they might catch something.
And I think, I mean, with all respect to the health and safety of everyone, we are in a place where they should be allowed to go to Warrior or the Red Auerbach Center there and open up the gym and have it four guys shooting around there. I know there's stay-at-home orders, and the whole thing was extended today by Charlie Baker. I'm sorry. It shouldn't be so tight that Jason Tatum can't go to the gym and shoot baskets. I think it's silly.
And, Mike, you mean regardless of restrictions.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
There should be an exception granted, or with that level of openness, that level of activity, I'm sorry. After Tatum's been quarantined for now, what is it, 6 weeks? And the team has been quarantined for 6 weeks, and we've got a little better grip on this. And our hospitals, thank God, knock on wood at this point, are not overrun. And, you know, I'm not saying open up every – but can the guy go shoot baskets in the gym? I think it's a little silly that he can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I completely agree at this point. I mean, if we had this conversation a few weeks ago, I agreed with the idea of shutting everything down because we didn't know – the direction that this virus was going. We didn't know how bad it was going to get. At that time, you've got like Navy medical ships, you know, cruising up the Hudson at that point. You have to shut things down. But now that there seems to at least be a light at the end of the tunnel somewhere, of course you continue doing all the things the medical experts tell you to do. But these facilities are palaces. You can say Marcus Smart can come in for 2 hours here, Jason Tatum for 2 hours there. Open up the gym for all 12, 13 of your guys at separate times so they can get some work in. I think it might be too cautious right now to keep these types of facilities closed.
Chris Max, Sports Illustrated, joining us quickly. I had read somewhere the Vegas mayor, now maybe on the other side of the equation, Vegas mayor is like, woo, you know, let's go. You know, slots are open. But I had heard that opening up Vegas actually might scare the NBA away because it won't be as safe as it is now as a shut down, you know, single location. And then I heard, was it Washburn or someone wrote about, they had talked to Disney World about maybe going to freaking Disney World and using that as their central location. So just your thoughts on, you know, the location now.
Well, I mean, look, they've had more than a dozen cities, locations pitch them these bubble-like concepts, these quarantine concepts. I've told you consistently, and I continue to hear this, that Vegas continues to be the front runner in that type of discussion just because of the logistical issues that they have kind of figured out in a city like that because of their recent history there. Carolyn Goodman, the mayor of Las Vegas, is bonkers. But it's fair to say that, I mean, you have to understand, she can't open as much as a food court on the Strip. Like, she has no power whatsoever over the casinos and most of the popular areas of Las Vegas. The Strip itself is part of a detached version of Clark County. She has no authority over it whatsoever. So the NBA sees stuff like that, and the people I've talked to have rolled their eyes to it, but it doesn't really impact them. If Vegas and if the governor says, look, we're open for certain months of business, if medical experts say that, that's when the NBA moves, not when, you know, Carolyn Goodman, who, if you know the history of the Goodman family, her and her husband have been the mayor of that town for like three decades. It's a wacky, wacky story, but no, they're not doing anything because she says so.
Chris, I know they already said they're giving it back, but I'm sure you can understand why small business owners are pissed to hear the Lakers even applied for one of those PPP loans in the first place. So how's it been viewed around the league that they even got that close to $5 million?
Incredulously at this point. That day, I mean, I guess on some level you could understand if, like, the Memphis Grizzlies did. I still wouldn't understand that, but because these NBA teams, I mean, the way they organized the collective bargaining agreement the last time around, it basically made them idiot-proof. Like, you have to make money if you're an NBA opener. But to see the Lakers, who are, you know, either the most valuable franchise in the NBA or the second most valuable, apply for, you know, less money than they're paying, like, the 15th man on the roster right now, that kind of loan from the government. I haven't heard enough about who did it and why they did it, but the idea that they would think that's a justifiable thing to do is just ludicrous to me.
Okay. Oh, Chris, please, it's embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed if I were the Lakers, frankly. That aside, I just quickly, in your discussions with teams, have you gotten any better understanding or idea as to where things stand with testing for those teams? And are teams at all giving you any indication that they're surprised they're not closer to it or that they're not here already?
Well, I mean, they're as surprised as the rest of us as to where we are and how far we are away. One thing to be clear about is that NBA teams, look, they wouldn't have any problem paying for private testing. Like, they have no issue with it, putting up the money that's needed to do something like that. The problem is more perception, right? They can't, you know, be out there, you know, administering 10,000 tests to their players over the course of a six-week span while people in, you know, impoverished neighborhoods or tougher parts of the country are still desperately looking for testing. It's more about the visual than it is the actual testing. Look, half the teams that got tested used private laboratories. I mean, you saw the Nets did it. I think the Lakers did it. I mean, a bunch of teams have used those private labs. That stuff is a possibility, even a probability, for the NBA to use once this comes back. They just need They need testing to become, as I watched the governor of New York, they need to have it in CVS's. They need to have everybody able to walk into a location and get a cheap test before they can go out there and just spend all their money on other ones.
Chris, did Tatum get his rim yet? Did he get his hoop set up yet?
I haven't checked recently, but I certainly hope so at this point, Mike. It's starting to get warm out. You can those things you can buy on Amazon. Set one of those cheap ones up and go.
Okay, we're gonna
I have a little news for you on that one.
Well, yes, I was just going to say, Maz, we're going to pick that up on the other side. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time. We really do appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
Okay, Chris, stay
see
well.
You, Chris.
Felger and Maz, you're all lined up. I see your calls. We'll get to that and the outdoor rim situation in our long commercial-free segment next.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, to your phones in a second. First, Maz, the outdoor rim. You got something for me?
Yep, exactly. My understanding is that Jason Tatum has his rim. He has his rim, finally. So, I don't know whether it's nailed to the side of a garage or what, but Jason Tatum got his basketball hoop finally. I'm glad he joined the rest of us in the world who have basketball hoops in their driveway or wherever and finally coughed up the dough to get one.
If you're watching our simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, Maz has a little instructional video there for Jason Tatum. Is that like a 7-foot rim there, Maz? When you came right down, it doesn't seem like it took you very long to hit the ground.
How low is that?
Well, that's because I descend quickly.
For crying
so,
out
yes,
loud.
Of course. Look, I lowered the rim. I had a little fun over the weekend. I set the camera up so you couldn't see the ground, but I gave it a two-hand tomahawk jam, put the video out there, and I did, mentioned Jason Tatum on the tweet, so he got a copy of the video here, about an hour ago, a little over that, hour and a half. And if Tatum has any particular questions or wants to know, I can, I can show him how to execute some of this stuff.
Oof, I think the thing's eye level to me.
Well, I was going to say, it's not, I said 7-foot rim, maybe it's even lower, but do you see the whiplash, Murray, the way that the net recoils when Maz lets go of it? Put the chocolate thunder there, Maz. You break the Charles Dawkins. You put a little Daryl Dawkins. You put a little dent in that backboard there, sir.
Yeah, see, I'm not that white. I'm more like mocha. I'm coffee. Yeah. I'm a mocha thunder.
Okay. To your phones as promised. You've been waiting patiently since we came on. Mike is in the truck. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
How you doing? I don't understand how these leagues are talking about trying to come back right now when the NFL, the most money-hungry league in America, is already talking about pushing back the start of their season. And I also heard getting rid of preseason and bye weeks.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, the NFL has a lot of wriggle room, I think. But why should they not talk about getting back? Everyone should be talking about how they can get back to work. Everyone. The government, the people, the workers, the owners, the whole thing. Everybody should be focused on how we can manage the virus and get back to work. So what, I mean, the people who say that, why are they even talking about it? I don't get it. That's all you should be talking about, is how to figure it out, how to manage the thing and get back to life. That's what everyone should be doing. Chris in Sherbourne. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I don't know if that guy is just at home collecting unemployment high out of his mind, but that made no sense. One quick point. December, January, the NBA was under huge attack from who? China. You know, we had the general manager from the Rockets getting lambasted for a tweet about Hong Kong. Do you think China has anything to do with the fact that they're being such pussyfooting around with trying to get this going? You're talking about the MLB having three locations, possibly mainly Arizona, but they can't get their heads out of their butt. Yeah. Do you think China has any influence on this?
No, none. I don't see how they could possibly. I know, you know, it's the only China tie-in. Well, there's two. One is they're watching China and their leagues to see if they come back successfully. And baseball has started there in that part of the world. And so everyone's keeping an eye on that. Is that working? They haven't had to shut it down. They haven't had to scale back. They're playing in empty buildings. And it seems, knock on wood, so far, it's going. It's happening. So that's a positive thing. So that's one way China plays. And the other one is that they lost so much money with that China nonsense with Daryl Morey that it's even more imperative for the NBA to recoup their revenue because they lost so much revenue with that China thing to begin with, Maz.
Oh, absolutely. You know, to me, that was the one that, you know, I thought you were going to mention. And so I really don't think there's any bearing. I think the number one thing is just the trepidation, the uncertainty. And look, in that way, I think the NBA really is a barometer for us as to what we're going to face across the country when we're ready to go back to work. And look, I don't know about you guys. I mean, and Murray, I include you obviously too, is that I feel like every week, I get a little bit more anxious. Like, okay, can we start to get back to our routine now? Every single week, I find myself getting closer and closer to saying, can we just open up the doors and let 10 people in? And then, you know, in 2 weeks, we let 10 more? Like, can we start doing that?
Of course, I feel that way, too. And I'm frustrated that there's just not a coordinated, organized effort with leadership attached to it, explaining to us in a logical, scientific way why this is feasible and it should be feasible. And I feel that is sorely lacking. I feel there's a case to be made there for a start to creeping back, and it's not being made compellingly enough as far as I'm concerned. Murray?
Yeah, a little anxious. I mean, come on, especially when you start hearing what was the report within the last 48 hours that, you know, things might not open until mid-July. Mid-July? Like, come on. Oh, Jesus.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts. Murray's going to give you a 90-second update without any commercials when we come back. I want to hit on the NFL draft, how they pulled it off, the credit being given to the NFL, the credit being given to Roger Goodell, and how it ties into all of this about the return of sports. We'll do that with your calls again after Murray's update. No spots here.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.